A couple of years ago, novelist Anne Rice posted a note on her Facebook page announcing, "Today I quit being a Christian." She went on to say, "I refuse to be anti-artificial birth control. I refuse to be anti-democrat. I refuse to be anti-secular humanism. I refuse to be anti-science. In the name of Christ, I quit Christianity and being Christian." Well, that statement came as quite a shock to the millions of fans who'd followed her career, first as the queen of vampire fiction, author of the best-selling Vampire Chronicles, and later as a convert to Catholicism and author of a series celebrating the life of Jesus. But the story's even more complicated, as Rice tells Anne Strangechamps. For years, she'd been a staunch atheist, but only after growing up a devout Catholic in New Orleans.
Everybody went to Catholic school. We didn't even know anybody that went to public school. And we went to Mass and Communion every morning from the age of six on, really. And it was a Catholic world. You didn't go see a movie if the Archbishop condemned the movie.
Then you lost your faith after a series of personal tragedies and some horrific deaths in your family.
Well, not really. I lost it on a college campus at 18, really for the same reason many college kids do. Because I wanted to know what the world was about. I wanted to read Jean-Paul Sartre and Albert Camus and Kierkegaard and figure out what existentialism was and what the Beat Generation was. That's why I lost it. I felt that it was not a valid description of the way the world was, and it couldn't be true as a religion.
Was there a moment when you thought, I'm an atheist, I don't believe anymore?
Yes, yes. Definitely. And for years, I did consider myself an atheist. In fact, for a very long time, 38 years, until I finally gave that up in a moment of realizing that I believed in God and I wanted to go back to religion.
Which shocked everybody at the time. I mean, you'd been writing the Vampire Chronicles for years. I mean, there was, what was it, some Christian commentator said it was like the conversion of St. Augustine. You know, this daughter of darkness had returned to the light.
Well, that may prove to have been an exaggeration.
What happened? Why did you rejoin the church?
My conversion was really a conversion to believing in God. And it was very natural to me to go home to the Catholic Church, to that beautiful ritual of Holy Communion at Mass, to talk to God. I wanted to go back to the banquet table. And I thought the Catholic religion, whatever differences I had with it, God was merciful. God knew the answers. God wasn't going to send people to hell by mistake. I didn't have to worry about the policies or the fire and brimstone sermons of Christians. And I came after a while to realize that I was in bed with people that I had nothing in common with and certainly didn't agree with on almost anything. Well, let's put it this way. I'm very aware that what Jesus means to me is not what he means to many, many other Christians.
What's the difference?
Well, I would say that I was in love with the Jesus of the Sermon on the Mount and the Lord's Prayer, the Jesus of the Good Samaritan parable and the Prodigal Son parable. But that is only one Jesus. When you really study the entire Bible, you see that there is quite another way to view Jesus that's more in keeping with the book of Revelation and more in keeping with other passages in the Bible where he speaks of people going into everlasting darkness or fire and where there's the gnashing of teeth. I mean, there's another side of Jesus, and that side has had a very distinct history in the history of Christianity. It's Jesus, the divine terminator, as Philip Zuckerman called him, who's going to come back at the end to hurl most of humanity into the lake of fire. And that's the Jesus I don't believe in, and I came to realize that I couldn't.
When you publicly announced a few years ago that you were leaving the Catholic Church, you know, that was stunning to a lot of people who had watched your kind of religious trajectory. Mm-hmm. What you said at the time, or at least what got reported in the press, was that you could not continue to be part of a church that didn't support the civic rights of gay people, that didn't support the reproductive rights of women. It sounded more as though your main problems with the Catholic Church had to do with politics, not so much with theology.
Well, I actually made a more thorough statement. I said I refused to be anti-gay, anti-feminist, anti-evolution, anti-science. And I really meant those statements to have deep theological roots. But it was certainly the political and social pressure that pushed me to make a public statement. You know, you can live with theological differences, but it was the tremendous pressure I felt due to the actions of the Catholic bishops in America and the things that they did politically and socially that I really do not believe in at all. And I had many, many differences with my Protestant brothers and sisters as well over what they believed. I really think that, how shall I put it? I mean, morality is what matters to me. It's being a good person. And when you put forward a religion that says that belief in Christ alone saves and has nothing to do with morality, well, to me, that's immoral. And I can't believe that God is immoral. And so I don't believe he's going to send Anne Frank and the Dalai Lama and Gandhi to hell because they don't believe in Jesus.
Well, I'm curious because I think that your feelings reflect a much larger current today, which is that what you could call the deinstitutionalization of faith. You know, some people talk about
yes.
Christianity after religion. Can there be such a thing, Christianity without the church?
Oh, absolutely. And I think you put it very well there. That's exactly what it's about. I got an enormous amount of email as a result of what happened. And also, stories were written about it all over the world. I was amazed. You know, I saw headlines in German saying, you know, that Anne Rice has quit Christianity. And I thought, what in the world? Why are they interested in this in Berlin?
Poster child for the apostates.
Well, no, but the reason these stories were written was not because I was so well-known or what I did was so unusual. They were written because people were talking about this themselves. Everywhere people said, a lot of people feel this way. And that's what the email said over and over again. I'm glad you said it because I feel exactly the same way and I can't say it because I'm a secretary at the Catholic school. I mean, most of the mail was positive. It was saying, yeah, I feel the same way. I believe in God. I love him and I want to live a good life, but I just cannot stomach what religion is doing.
Do you have any desire for a public institution, for a church to belong to? Are you comfortable having your faith become a purely private thing?
I am completely comfortable with it now. And many, many people wrote and said, you know, come to our church. We don't teach the things you object to. Or come to our church. We have a gay minister or we have gay people in our church. And those were wonderful, generous offers. But I am quite comfortable alone. I don't feel the need to worship with others. But worshiping with others is, of course, a very important Christian principle. Gathering with others to stand before the Lord. And I respect that. But I don't myself feel the need. I really don't.
You know, throughout history, most religions have come attached to a story, to a set of metaphors and symbols. And you're a novelist. You, more than anybody, knows the power of the imagination. And I'm not sure that you can have a religion that's just a bunch of principles or without having that deeper set of metaphors, those symbols. Where do those come from then, if we're going to remake it all?
Maybe you don't need a religion. Maybe what you need is to be a good person, is to live according to your conscience, is not to do evil toward other people. Maybe that's what you need. Maybe you don't need those old stories. Maybe that was a phase that we went through as human beings, and it's a phase that has to come to an end.
Anne Rice spoke with Anne Strangechamps. Rice is now back to writing supernatural thrillers. Her new werewolf novel is called The Wolf Gift.